Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise your name. High and holy is your name, Father. We're thankful for this opportunity tonight to come to you in prayer. And we pray that you help us to pray more often and take advantage of the opportunities to talk to you, Father, in prayer. Father, at this time we pray for parents. What a wonderful task we have as parents, yet humbling and challenging at the same time. Father, it's wonderful because children are a joy and a blessing from you, and we as parents are charged to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Father, we are blessed to have examples of godly parents, even in our own number here, who have brought up and continue to bring up their children in your ways, and we thank you for those examples. And Father, it's apparent that these examples have looked to you and your word for guidance on how to be better parents. Help us all, Lord, to lean on you and your word and not on our own understanding to help raise our kids. As parents, this is one of the most important tasks that we have, to bring our children up in your ways and to raise them to become a Christian, Father. And Father, we just pray that you help us in that endeavor as we go throughout our lives and our children's lives. Father, as wonderful a task as it is, we also know that parenthood can be challenging and humbling at the same time. We live in a sinful world, Father. We know that the devil and his angels are always trying to tempt us every day, and they're around every corner, Father. And for our children, they can be heavily influenced, whether it's through peer pressure with friends, whether it's through the issues of this world, or whether it's even through modern technologies, Father. As a parent, Father, we know that this can be a daunting task to show our children that some of these things, that certain aspects of their friends or other things can be sinful, can be a danger, and not of your ways. So we pray, Father, help us as parents to guide our children in the right way and your ways. Help us to have the knowledge and wisdom to show them the dangers of this world, but also help us, Father, to show them the true blessings that we all can have as children of yours. Father, we pray that you help us to look to you and your word for guidance in raising our kids, and help us as parents to not only show our children your ways, but also help us as parents to realize that they are watching us. So we pray that you help us to live your ways, Father, according to your word, to be better Christians, so that we can be the proper example to our children. Father, we thank you for this task that you have given to parents to raise godly children, and help us to realize how serious our duties are as parents. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Number 435, How Shall the Young Secure? And we'll keep this upbeat.
How shall the young secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin? Thy word, the choicest rules impart to keep the conscience clean.
Would you bow with me, please? Our Lord and our Father in heaven, we're grateful for this day that you have blessed us with, especially, Father, this time that we have been allowed to separate ourselves from the world, to come here, Father, and to study and to sing, and especially now at this time, Father, to pray to you. Father, teach us how to pray better than we already do. Help us, Father, to spend more time talking with you. Help us to be able to openly and clearly communicate our needs to you, understanding, Father, that even before we ask, you already know. This time, Father, we're praying for those that are in college, praying for our younger people who have gone on this endeavor. And Father, we thank you for them and for the encouragement that we receive from them. For those, Father, who are at the end of their college career and have finished, we're grateful for their time. We're grateful for the encouragement that they've given us, for the continued support that we can give to them, Father. We ask for strength and for blessing. We ask, Father, that you would help us to encourage at any time we have opportunity so that they would understand how valuable they are to us. We understand, Father, that this is a time where they are starting their life. And we pray, Father, for wisdom and for application of those things that they have learned so that they can make good decisions, that they can start their life out in a way, Father, that is pleasing to you. Especially, Father, as they start families and as they stand for the truth as they go out into the world. We pray, Father, for them as they go on to the next phase of their life, that they would do so, Father, understanding all of the benefit that they have received from being able to be uplifted and encouraged, not only here but in all places where they are. We also pray, Father, for those who remain in college now, who are still in that time period. We pray that you would give them strength to complete that time, to complete their studies, to be successful in that, Father. But most importantly, we pray for courage for them to stand faithful. Some of them, Father, are in environments that are conducive for young Christians to be and to be involved. But some, Father, are not, and they need that strength and courage to stand faithfully for your word. Help them, Father, as they go through this time in their lives to be dedicated to the spiritual as well as the physical. Help them, Father, to continue in that endeavor. And Father, we also have those who are just starting that time. We ask, Father, for strength for them, that they would focus time for God, that they would focus time for you, for your Son, for spiritual growth, that you would help them to develop those habits of study and attendance and service and involvement, Father, not only in their local congregations, but in those around them so that they can encourage others around them to be better people. We ask, Father, that you would help them to develop these habits that will carry them through life. Habits, Father, like prayer as we're doing now. Habits like teaching others. Habits like learning with an open mind, Father. We're told in all of these things by the preacher in the Old Testament that during their childhood, their heart should be pleasant and enjoy the impulses of it. They should do the things that are happy, that make them happy. But Father, there is the warning that in all things, know that God will bring them to judgment. Having this, Father, and the focus of not only their life, but in ours as well, we encourage one another so that when the time comes and we stand before you at the judgment, that we can look back on our life as a time when we have done the things that you would have us to do, that we have remembered our Creator, not only, Father, in the days of our youth, but throughout our life. Help them, Father, to look forward to the things that stand in front of them with joyfulness and with a sense of opportunity. Not just opportunity, though, Father, for themselves, but opportunity for what they can do in your kingdom. We pray, Father, that you would give those of us who look back on those times to teach and admonish and uplift so that, Father, they can come out the other side of this time of their life having been better for being there. We ask, Father, that you would bless us as we go through the remainder of our service tonight, as we pray for the different things that are on our hearts and minds tonight, that you would listen to these things, Father, and that you would give us hope and security in knowing that you are our Father and that you do listen to us. We're grateful for your Son. We're grateful for his sacrifice. And we ask, Father, that you would put his word in our hearts and have it teach us all of these things. We pray these in his name. Amen.
Number 415, To Christ Be True.
To Christ be loyal and be true, his banner be unfurled, and on the lofty hill is secure the conquest of the world. To Christ the Lord be true, for he will go with you and Christ be loyal and be true. He needs brave volunteers to stand against the powers of sin, moved not by frowns or fears. To Christ the Lord be true, for he will go.
when I'm afforded the opportunity to travel and go different places, people ask me about the church where I work. And oftentimes I am asked the question of, do you have a lot of young people there? And I understand the reason for the question. You want to have young people, new life constantly within the church, and also a recognition that the gospel is continuing to have its effect on coming generations. I've never been asked if you have a lot of older saints in your church. That would be a fault if we did not. Any church that lacks gray hair is lacking vital components of what God needs and God wants in His people. We are blessed to have many young, my generation, even some generations above me and those under me. But we are also blessed in this congregation to have much gray hair. It's significant that in the Scriptures, both Old Testament and New Testament, the ones who would lead God's people were referred to as elders. Elders in the cities of Israel. Elders in the churches of God. It is that wisdom that God has said His people needs. We're going to now pray to God about our older saints and ask you to go to God in prayer with me. Our Father, Your people have long referred to You as the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers. And Father, we come to You in that vein this evening because You have been the God of Your people throughout time. Abraham trusted in You and followed You. Moses, as we even studied about this morning, followed You faithfully, not knowing what would happen, but trusting that You would provide. And Father, generations have gone by, all putting their faith and trust in You. And Father, there are those of older generations here this evening, those of younger generations, all united by the common thread that You are our Father. You are the Father of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You are the Father of our fathers. Father, we come to You first of all this evening thanking You for older saints. We thank You, Father, for the example that they have provided, even as Paul wrote to Titus, and instructing the older men to continue to be temperate, to be strong in faith and love and perseverance. And Father, truly, You have set before us examples of temperance, of faith, love, and perseverance. Saints who have trusted in You throughout their lives and serve now as lights to those of us who are younger and to a dark and dying world, that it is possible to rein in our passions and desires. That it is possible to trust in You and not in man. That it is possible to love You with all of our heart, with all of our soul, of our mind, and our being. And to love others even as ourselves. And Father, now in their declining years oftentimes, they show us the greatest examples of perseverance, of enduring the trials of life and maintaining steadfast faith in You. We thank You, Father, for these saints. And Father, even as Your servant Job once said, that wisdom is with aged men and that with long life is understanding. And the psalmist proclaimed that gray hair is an honor to the aged. We thank You, Father, for these sources of wisdom that dwell with us, these embodiments of Your Word that we can go to when we face struggles and trials in this life, to know how Your saints have handled these things and maintained their faith, that we can go to them to be directed to Your true wisdom that's found within Your Word. Father, we'd be remiss not to thank You for these older saints, what they mean for Your people here, what they have always meant for Your people throughout time. But Father, we would also come to You on their behalf. We all suffer because of sin. And even with that first sin, and death came into being. And so, Father, those who are older now experience more of what that means, that we were created from the dust and to the dust we shall return as this mortal body fails and it grows old. And there are so many trials, Father. There are so many saints within this congregation who are facing those difficulties and the trials that attend our bodies as they age. Many who are out with us on a regular basis, some who are unable to be out with us anymore. And Father, we are mindful of what the psalmist once said. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. And no doubt, Father, many of our own saints would petition you in the same way, asking that you would continue to be with them, even to comfort them, to ease whatever pain and suffering that they may have. And Father, we trust, we believe that you will sustain them. You made a promise to Israel that even to your old age, I will be the same. Even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bless you, and I will deliver you. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God of our fathers. You have borne your people throughout time. And so, Father, we commit our older saints, our younger saints, even the children of this congregation, to your care, knowing and believing that you will sustain, that you will bear us, that you will comfort us. And even though this life may come with much pain, and the end of this life may come with great pain, we have every hope and assurance that you will continue to be with us and be our God, that you do not change. Be with us, Father. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Number 620, Room in God's Kingdom.
There is room in the kingdom of God, my brother, for a small thing that you can do. Just a small kindly deed that makes you another is a work God has planned for you. There is room, there's a place in the kingdom of God. Just a cup of cold water in His name given may the hope in some heart renew. Just a small little nor high sorrow driven to the work God has planned for you. There is room, there's a place in the kingdom of service of God for workers who are loyal to Him and true. Can't you say to Him now, I will leave the shirkers and the work Thou hast planned I'll do. There is room, there's a place in the kingdom of
there.
Paul's letters, often in the beginning, include very early a prayer for those people that he's writing to. He expresses almost the same thoughts, though with different words, in each of those prayers. The prayer in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, I think, is typical. He says, "In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and void of offense unto the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are through Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God." I've been asked to pray for the spiritual growth of this church. And in each of these prayers, this is what Paul is praying for, to see the growth and the maturity take place in that congregation so that it might be all that God wants it to be in His kingdom. So let's pray together. Father, we marvel as we read in your word about your hand at work to bring about your eternal kingdom. That from the beginning you intended to place your Son upon the throne to rule with all power and authority, and that the kingdom would be proclaimed throughout the world. We see, Father, the wondrous fulfillment of this in the New Testament, and how that Christ ascending to the throne resulted in the powerful proclamation of his rule throughout the world. And it thrills us to read in the New Testament about the kingdom of God being preached and spread throughout the world in those pages. It's thrilling to read about the hearts of those early disciples and their commitment and their sacrifice. And we're thankful that we can learn from their example. Father, as we pray for the growth of your kingdom, help us to realize that what we are first asking for is the opportunity to grow personally. That your kingdom is made up of individuals, individual disciples who each must make a decision in their heart to be committed to you and to be committed to growth and maturity. We pray for that, Father, for we know that if your kingdom is to grow here, it will be because each and every member is committed to personal growth, personal spiritual growth that will cause them to mature and to be what you want them to be as your disciples. We pray, Father, that we may grow in knowledge and in the ability to discern, to distinguish between right and wrong, and that our faith will be such that we will approve of the good things, make the right choices, so that our lives will become blameless and without offense unto the day of Christ. We understand, Father, that this is what will first and foremost lead to the growth of your kingdom. We're thankful that we can read in your word how the disciples did this, how they came to love you with all their hearts, how they came to love the brethren and to love the lost. May we, Father, develop that depth of love upon which the Scriptures are based, that we might truly love the Lord. Love Him enough to want to follow Him wherever He leads us, to follow whatever teaching we find in Your Word, that our lives might be transformed so that we might truly be people who reflect the kingdom of light. We pray, Father, that the attitudes of our heart might be changed and transformed, that we might show the love and the care and the compassion that you want, that our minds will be committed to learning your word and to laying it up in our hearts so that we might not forget it. Pray that we might truly love our brethren with all our heart, that the world might see us loving one another, and by that know that we are your disciples. May we manifest that love toward every brother and sister in Christ without distinction. And may that lead us to being a stronger part of your kingdom here and reflecting it as we do in our daily life. But we know, Father, that if we enjoy the blessings of your kingdom, if we enjoy being a part of your kingdom, that it is something that we cannot hold within ourselves. That as we grow in Christ, we want to share what we have. And may we, like those disciples of old, love the lost with all our hearts and let nothing hold us back from trying to spread your gospel. Let not a wicked world or opposition or ridicule cause us to doubt our faith, but to cause us to want to share it even more, that those who would oppose you might come to understand what really matters in this life and what salvation means. Help us to remember that commitment and manifest that same commitment. For we remember, Father, that it was the dedication and the sacrifice of those disciples that set them apart from the world, that helped the world to see truly who Christ is. Help us, Lord, to remember that the more we are like the world, the less your kingdom will grow. But the more we strive to be like Jesus, the more your kingdom will grow. Let us not be ashamed to be different. Let us not be ashamed to return good for evil, to be patient and loving people, people who are gentle and people who care, people who want to share Jesus with whoever they can. This too, Father, will cause the growth of your kingdom here as souls are saved and we are all encouraged to see the power of the gospel at work. We love your kingdom, Lord, and we pray that we might truly reflect the glory of the kingdom as its citizens in this life, that we may be a part of it eternally in the life to come. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen.
If you will please stand, we will sing number 73 before the invitation. Number 73, Sweet Hour of Prayer.
No. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and busy at my Father's throne. Make all my wants and wishes known in seasons of distress and grief. My soul.
Well, tonight we've spent time in prayer to God. So I want to just quickly talk about prayer and look at a time in the Bible where someone did pray to God. Turn, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. This chapter is about Manasseh, and Manasseh is going to pray to God. And this story is incredible. And so let's start in verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places that his father Hezekiah had broken down, and he erected altars to the Baals, and made Asherah, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem shall my name be forever." And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he burned his sons as an offering in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and used fortune-telling and omens and sorcery, and dealt with mediums and with necromancers. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. And the carved image of the idol that he had made, he set in the house of God, of which God said to David and to Solomon his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will no more remove the foot of Israel from the land that I appointed for your fathers, if only they will be careful to do all that I have commanded them, all the law, the statutes, and the rules given through Moses." Manasseh led Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem astray to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the people of Israel. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they paid no attention. Therefore, the Lord brought upon them the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria, who captured Manasseh with hooks and bound him with chains of bronze and brought him to Babylon. Manasseh was extremely wicked, a terrible king. In fact, the scriptures really enforce the idea that he was so wicked, he was just as bad or worse as the inhabitants of the land that God had removed because they were so wicked. He defiled the temple, led the people astray, had no regard for God, worshipped all kinds of things, whether it's the host of heaven, other idols. Manasseh was not a righteous man. Manasseh did not follow God. Because of that, God had the Assyrians come in and attack, and Manasseh was taken away. Manasseh was removed from Jerusalem, removed from God's presence, and he was a slave. But then we get to the next verse, verse 12. And when he was in distress, he entreated the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He prayed to him, and God was moved by his entreaty and heard his plea and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. This story is incredible for several reasons, but I think the most incredible thing is not that Manasseh repented, not that Manasseh humbled himself before God. That is amazing. But the incredible thing that I see is that God listened to Manasseh. That when Manasseh humbled himself and prayed, God heard this prayer and God was moved by this prayer. This teaches us something about our God. That if God could be moved by the humble, submissive prayer of a man like this, a man who had done the things that Manasseh had done, if God could listen to that prayer, Should we doubt that God hears our prayers? We who are a people that have submitted to God, that have accepted Christ as our King, that are trying in all that we do and all that we say and all that we think to honor the Lord, and who are trying to expand His kingdom, to bring others to Him, and trying to follow the example that Christ set before us. If we are a people like that, then of course God hears our prayers. If He's willing to hear the prayer of Manasseh, and not just hear it, He's willing to be moved by that prayer, because Manasseh came to Him in humility. Manasseh submitted himself to the Lord, and God acted on behalf of Manasseh. If God's willing to do that, then we should have no doubt that God hears us. We should have no doubt that God is moved by our prayers. And we should have no doubt that God will answer our prayers. Not always in the way that we want Him to answer, but always in the way that is best for us, and always in the way that is according to His will, to bring glory to Himself. That is the kind of God that we serve. And it goes even farther than that. This is how much God cares about our prayers. If we look at Romans chapter 8, turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. This is how much God cares about our prayers. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. It's not just that God wants our prayers. It's not just that God hears our prayers and is moved by our prayers. God Himself, the Spirit, intercedes for us. That the Spirit Himself, when we can't even formulate the words that we want to say to our God, when we're overcome by emotion, when we're overcome by different situations in our lives, and we can't even formulate what to say to God, we don't even know how to express what we're feeling, or we don't even know how to express what we want, that God has the Spirit come and be a middleman, an intercessor, to express to God what's in our hearts, what's on our minds, what we want to say to God, even when we can't even find the words. That's how active God is in our prayers. That's how much God cares about the prayers of the saints. We serve an amazing God. And so we should always be praying to the Lord, asking Him for things that we need, telling Him how amazing that He is, thanking Him for the prayers that He has answered for years and years of our lives that we've prayed to Him. We should constantly be in communication with our God, because He is our Father. And we should constantly be following our Father and talking to our Father. Well, all of us at one time were in the same situation that Manasseh was. Maybe we hadn't done all the things that Manasseh had done, but all of us at one time didn't submit to God. All of us at one time lived our life doing what we wanted, following our own desires. And because of that, we're separated from God. Whenever man sins, he's separated from God. And when that happens, man's enslaved, like Manasseh was enslaved. Not enslaved to the Assyrians, but enslaved to sin. Enslaved to sin and unable to be released. We cannot be released from sin, at least not on our own. We have no power to save ourselves from the slavery that sin brings upon us. And yet, just like with Manasseh, God is able to free us from that slavery. God was able to release Manasseh and allow Manasseh to come back to Jerusalem, where God was. And God has released most of us from the slavery of our sins and allowed us to be reunited with Him. If you have not become a Christian, then you are still enslaved because of your sins. And it's the slavery that you're unable to escape from on your own. And yet, just like with Manasseh, it takes humility to acknowledge it is God who has all power. It is God who has authority over me. It is God who is able to free me. And as you look through the New Testament, you see how God tells us we are to be freed. When you become a Christian, when you submit to Jesus, God happily, eagerly frees you from your sins. If you have not done that, if you have not become a follower of Jesus and wish to do that, you can do that at this time. If you don't understand what all that involves, what God teaches about how to be freed from your sins, you can come down and we can discuss that. We can talk about what the Bible teaches in regards to that. But if nothing else tonight, let us all remember how much God cares about prayer. And let us remember that it is because of our relationship with Him that we express in prayer all the time. It's because of our relationship with Him that we are free from the bondage of sin. If you need to make your life right tonight in any way, if you need to escape the bondage of sin, whatever your need is, you can come down to the front at this time. Let's stand.
Jesus, He's everything you need. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.